All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. So in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. Today is Thursday, March 16th, and Mark is back. So good to see you here. Okay. Wow, what a week. And also yesterday, the Dow and S&P 500 dropped while NASDAQ had a small gain, and then Credit Suisse got a lifeline from Swiss Central Bank. But I mean, after 8 Fed rate hikes, we could see a banks crisis. So we will take a look at this and how the markets are reacting. And more importantly, we'll also show you how we are trading these markets. If this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Houghton. We're real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me. We know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And gosh, what a week. We talked about it this morning, Mark. I mean, the chart of the S&P 500 is not really telling the story of what has happened since last week.
Not at all, Marcus. And first of all, I'm happy to be back. And I wasn't feeling 100%. But Marcus, I couldn't let you be alone when we get 100,000 subscribers. So
yeah, we were so close to this.
I had to join you today in case today's the day. Maybe it's tomorrow. But anyway, Marcus, I mean, looking at that S&P 500 chart, there is a lot more volatility and a lot more what the heck's going on than what we see there. And there you go. The VIX really tells the real story. VIX, of course, also known as the Fear Index, tracking S&P 500 implied volatility, that options premium. So when the VIX is rising, that tells us that traders are pricing in bigger moves, more uncertainty, bigger price fluctuations. And that has a lot to do or everything to do with banks and what comes next.
Yeah, so let's take a look at the regional bank index. And this is where we just see that since the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank last week, I mean, this index here has lost 28%. So that's a dramatic move because now the question is who's next? So we had two banks already failing, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. And the next bank in the crosshairs was Credit Suisse. Although that's a little bit of a different story than these regional banks that we just talked about.
Yeah, and the big difference here is the Silicon Valley Bank just totally came out of the blue, right? Where you look at Credit Suisse, you see that it has been in a steady decline for a while. And so there have been some concerns, some issues. And this, I think it was just more of a story or what's next, or is there a bigger implosion on the horizon because of this? But overnight, they announced that they will borrow $54 billion from the Swiss National Bank to help out.
Yeah, so they bounced back a little bit here. But the next bank, I think, to really keep an eye on is, First Republic Bank, right?
FRC, right?
FRC, yes. First Republic Bank, FRC. Because, I mean, this has been in the spotlight and we see how massive these moves are. And it seems that this is where some traders are concerned that First Republic Bank might be the next regional bank that could possibly fail.
Yeah, and this is where you have the story between the regional banks and the bigger banks like a Bank of America or Wells Fargo Bank. Because with the housing crisis and the financial crisis back in 2008, there were a lot of safeguards and things put into place to help make sure the banks would not fail again. And the regional side, there's a little more risk, a little more exposure there. And we saw that happen with SVB. And then the question is just, you know, can that happen? Other regionals, will there be these implosions? Just how systematic is this risk or concern? Right now, it seems a little bit isolated, and I think that's why we're getting a bit of a pause here in some of these regionals, even up today, aside from FRC.
So interestingly enough, benefiting from all of this is Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin trading here almost at 27,000 just a couple of days ago. Because this is where people say right now, well, maybe we should look into cryptocurrencies. Maybe this is safer than having cash in the bank. I don't know about this, but I mean, definitely a winner in this crisis here, as well as big banks. I mean, we heard from Bank of America that over the last few days, they had $15 million in deposits, which was one of the biggest inflows that they have seen. I mean, they're also still down, but compared to the other banks, not as dramatically, because if you look at this, this is only a move of what, 15, 16% down, versus the 30% that we see here in the regional banks.
Yeah, we were talking about that with our mastermind group this morning, and seeing some stocks popping up on the wheel scanner with PowerX Optimizer over the last couple of days. I think you have to recognize that there is some risk here. There is uncertainty, and what happens with the Fed next week is important to, you know, take into consideration. But I think like a Morgan Stanley or a JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs or Bank of America, Wells Fargo, I think there are some opportunities out there if you're willing to take the risk.
Yeah, let's actually talk about these opportunities. Although before we do this, let's take a quick look at the economic calendar here. Let me just bring it up really quick, because we did have some news this morning, but right now this is all overshadowed by news from the banks. So let's talk about these reports that were released this morning, an hour before the markets opened.
Yeah, so you see unemployment claims in green there, 192,000 Americans filing for first time unemployment, and that was lower than expected, which is generally a good thing, but not necessarily in this environment here where the Fed wants to get employment to kind of calm down a little bit. I think it was still kind of overshadowed, or it was overshadowed by banks and everything else going on, but definitely something to take note of. Philly Fed also coming in worse than expected. Building permits, housing permits, higher than expected, which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and that's not good, because when we had the CPI data on Tuesday, this is where we see that cost for shelter and housing, this is one of the big contributors and still on the rise. And this is where we see now building permits and housing starts rising. I mean, this means that the housing market is still strong. So not necessarily what the Fed wants to see. But I mean, last week when testifying in front of the Senate and the House, Jerome Powell said, well, we'll keep an eye on the data. And what he meant to say is that they keep an eye on CPI, PPI, core PCE, also on, of course, the jobs market. What he didn't anticipate that now they have to keep an eye on the banking market as well.
Yeah, and next week we do have the two-day policy meeting for the Fed. It's going to be Tuesday and wrapping up on Wednesday. We see that 6 days from now. The probabilities have been all over the place. What seemed like 25% or 25 basis point hike was a certainty about a month ago and for many, many days. Then it went to a 50 basis point hike when it seemed like the inflation concern was still there. And then with the banking issues, now people are thinking maybe no hike is possible.
Yeah, this is just crazy. I mean, yesterday there was a 50-50 chance that maybe there is no hike. I mean, we talked about it this morning with our mastermind group. That would be a little bit concerning if they don't hike.
Yeah.
Because if the Fed said, we're a little bit worried about the financial sector here, and therefore we are pausing, that would not set the right signal. Because Jerome Powell kept saying, we still have a lot of work to do. And that's true. I mean, inflation is still at 6%. So far away from the 2% that they are targeting.
Yeah. And, you know, the Fed's continuously said, we're going to focus on the data. And yeah, I think they need to be mindful of the banking industry. And if there's, you know, systematic concerns or worries there, you know, a bigger issue. But here we see that it's flip-flopped. It's now back at a 25 basis point hike. That's what I believed is what the Fed will do all along here. And there are some other tools in their tool chest that they could go to. But I do think saying no hike would be a shock to the market.
Yeah. And I mean, even here this morning when we looked, traders were just factoring in that we have one more hike and then interest rates are getting lower. Here, it's all over the place. And I mean, we really have to wait until next week. And until then, it seems that the markets are just teetering, right? I mean, this is what we see here this morning when we look at a five-minute chart of the S&P. At first, opening lower, not finding any direction, now out of the blue, moving a little bit higher. But I mean, this can turn on a dime here right now.
Yeah, and you know, Marcus, just a little bit earlier, I said that I believe that there are opportunities in financial services with some of the names that I mentioned, if you're willing to take the risk. But I don't necessarily like the opportunities to be a buyer right now. I like the opportunities to be selling puts and trading the wheel strategy like we like to do here at Rockwell.
Oh, yeah, especially with the VIX now being at higher levels where we can get more premium. That's definitely fun. And there was no shortage of stocks on the scanner today. I mean, we looked at several. I mean, I'm full right now. We'll talk about our trades, but we talked about DFS here as a possible wheel trade, Discover Financial Services. We talked about Visa. We talked about MasterCard. All of these are solid companies. And today we have financials and the energies on there. Right now they start disappearing as the market starts rallying, but there were a lot of opportunities. I mean, really, you could pick and choose. There were a lot of great solid companies on the scanner.
Yeah, it's really been a fun week to trade, and there's been no shortage of opportunities. And the nice thing when you're selling puts is you're getting paid. But if the stock does drop, with the volatility in the market, we would get assigned at prices that we would love to be assigned at. So we're basically getting paid to buy stock at a discount from where it's trading right now. And if it moves higher, then it's a win for us either way.
Yeah. So let's take a look at a few. Let's talk about some new trades that we entered yesterday. So yesterday, one of the trades that we really liked is IWM, which is mirroring the Russell 2000. So yesterday for us, there was an opportunity to sell the 164 put, which we both took. This where if we are staying above the 164, we keep the premium. If we go below, we get assigned. But I mean, this is an index. We really, really like this trade, right?
Yeah, and you look at that nice support level there. So even though it's been down a little bit over the last couple of weeks, there's some strong support. 164 made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So we saw this, and this is doing really, really well right now. We are at 80% of the max profits already. So that's almost one that we could close today if we wanted to, because we have the rule that we like to close it at 80% of max profits after a day. After that, 90% of max profits, but that would be probably possible to close and just quick one day trade.
Yeah, those are always fun.
All right. Then Oxy, I'm still in the 55 put that I sold. You re-entered it yesterday because you were able to close it before. That was also a very quick one day trade for you. So we both sold the 55 expiring tomorrow.
Yep. And like you said, I was able to close at 80% and re-enter. And that's looking good. Oxy at 57.60 right now. And we have the 55 put expiring.
Right. Then I'm pretty full. We'll talk about the other positions here. But you also saw an opportunity in Marriott yesterday.
Yeah. So, you know, taking a look at everything popping up on the scanner, I've traded Marriott a few times last year. I like the way this one moves. It tends to have these swings, but they're orderly. And it's had some really nice ranges. Going back to 2021, I sold the 147 put yesterday, got some nice premium for that one. And that's another one right now, up 80%.
And that's about the wheel strategy. It is kind of scary if you are selling puts when the market is dropping, but this is where we have the most beautiful one-day trades that we typically see here. So it's something that you need to get used to, and this is why we're doing the show here, so that we show you what we are doing to help you to get more confidence. And before we look at a few other positions, is this helpful at all? Because if it is, give us a like. And since we're getting close to 100,000 subscribers, if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, do this now. We'll help us out. Because then we get something from YouTube, I believe. And if so, I'll let you know. Yeah. All right. CTRA, Coterra Energy here. Yesterday, moving lower. Today, bouncing back. So this is looking good. I'm okay with this. I got assigned at 26, my break even at 24.06. In a couple of weeks, I'll get another 57 cents in dividends, which will bring my break even down to 23.50. So I'm very okay with this trade. You let it go when there was an opportunity, and you even thought about re-entering it, but then the Oxy trade came along.
Yeah, and it's surprising because Oxy and CTRA isn't as correlated as you might think. But I focused a little more on Oxy recently. Yesterday, this was on my list. I was considering the 22 strike, even the 22.50. There was some really, really nice premium there. But I decided to go the Oxy Marriott route just to mix it up a little bit. But I think CTRA still looks good at these levels.
Yeah. And then there's the Googles. And again, today, up, up and away. I mean, Google, again, after a massive move yesterday. Yesterday, it was already a 2.3% move after the markets were flat or even down. Today, a 4% move here. I mean, this is behaving really, really well. I like this.
Yeah, this is exactly what you needed, Marcus. This is another one that I got out of with that last pop in the beginning of February. So I let it go, pulled back. It seemed like there was some nice support around 90. I would love to see this break above 100 for you.
Right. Well, and then there's AMD. You have been in AMD for quite a while. Got assigned at 104, and AMD also today on a tear. Today up 6% after yesterday, 2.5% the day before, 6%. I mean, AMD, if you look at this over the last few days here, if you just look at the last 4 days, up a whopping 20%. So this is where you've been able to sell some calls against your existing position.
Yeah, I was able to do that this morning. And what I was waiting for, because I had some conversations with traders in the Mastermind group where there were some traders that really wanted to start selling calls early. And I was saying, wait for the break above 89. I really thought with the way that this one was moving, you have these pushes and then a little bit of a pullback and then a break. At least that's how it's traded since October. I thought we'd break through resistance and take off. And 20% in a couple of days is just huge. So when I saw this move today, I decided to go ahead and sell the 101 strike. The 101 strike is a couple bucks below my cost basis of 104. So generally speaking, I'd like to or prefer to sell calls at my cost basis or higher. But I've been in this one for so long. My break even is around 94, 95 bucks. So by selling the 101, I was able to get some really nice premium. And if it does pull back a little bit in the next week, which I think it has a good chance of doing so, then I was able to capture that premium on the big rally. Although I do think I'll be able to get rid of this in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And is this the one expiring tomorrow or next week?
I went out to next week. So we have the Fed priced in there too.
Yeah, that's great. All right, last but not least, our PNC trade. And I mean, PNC, we entered this because it just looked gorgeous on the chart before all of this happened. And I mean, this were kind of the perfect storm. We got caught into the bank crisis. I don't know if you want to call it a bank crisis, but the bank concerns here. We bought a few more shares. So therefore, my cost base is at 141.50. Yours is at 136 in a really good position here. And we see that right now it is rallying up 2.4%. So we'll see. That's a trade that did not go according to plan at all. Well, we kind of had a black swan event, because who knew that regional banks would fail, or that Silicon Valley Bank would fail and basically drag all the other regional banks down with it. But I still think that we are in a really good and solid position here. And even though that this was very unexpected, I think we did the right thing by buying some more shares, bring down our cost basis, and therefore being able to hopefully sometime next week be able to sell some calls.
Yeah, all things considered, I'm down about 6-7% from my cost basis. I'm down about 5%, 6%. Anyway, you know, this is one of those scenarios where you can't avoid a move that's unexpected when you're trading. There's going to be risk, right? However, I'm willing to manage this. We looked at the fundamentals. Sure, there's this outlier event that took place, something that you wouldn't really expect. And I think that, you know, the concern here is that people are thinking about, you know, too big to fail and the financial crisis and regionals not being too big to fail. But I do think that when the dust settles, PNC is a large bank. It is a large bank. I think PNC is going to be just fine. It's just a matter of, do we get that V-shaped recovery? Do we snap back in a couple of days or a couple of weeks? Or are we going to be in this one for a little bit?
Yeah. And again, also right now, a really nice dividend yield in case we would be in this one. So 4.35%, not bad at all. Pretty low PE ratio. And yeah, you mentioned the market cap of $52 billion, which is almost in line with Citi. Well, Citi was a little bit higher. What other banks did we look at? Was it not Wells Fargo? But it was another fairly big bank that was there. Can't remember. Maybe it was Citi, $92 billion. So Citi only being twice as big as PNC Financial Services.
Look at USB maybe.
Yeah, US Bancorp. Yeah, 57 right there. So, yeah, I mean, this also, although US Bancorp is also regional.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Anyhow, so I'm okay with this. I think that we are in a good, strong position. As you can see right now with five positions, I'm full. So over the last few weeks, I reserved a position for a possible rescue mission for Google. That's off the table right now because I was interested in doing this at this level of 87. So therefore, really nice and full. I have a few positions expiring tomorrow, the IWM and the Oxa position, and we'll see what happens. If we get assigned or if they expire worthless, and if so, we will look for more opportunities next week.
That's the plan.
Anyhow, so tune in tomorrow to see of what exactly we are doing here with these positions, whether we let them go or whether we close them early. And talking about closing early and at 90%, we did a video on this. Check this out. This explains why we like to close at 80 or 90% of the max profits. So give us a like, subscribe to the channel, go to another video, and then we'll see you again tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.